Man, that Bible study we had this morning was great. And Wednesday night we're going to be in prayer, as Pete already, or no, Jeff's preaching. Oh, okay. So we're going to be hearing Jeff on Wednesday. We took the week off last Wednesday, the heat. But now we're going to get into the Word, and so the Word can get into us. Thank you, Lord. So we're in Matthew chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your Word. We thank you that it's a light, Lord, that lights up the path in front of us. You guide us, Lord, through your Word. You show us how to live, Lord. And you help us to be more and more like you, Lord. Sanctified, Lord, in our spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Thank you so much. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 2. Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him." John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. People from Jerusalem and from all of Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Amen.
The Bible, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. I have it, I read it, I study it, I teach it, and with God's help, we can all live it, right? We all have the same opportunities, and we have an obligation also to do as John was doing, to tell people about the good news. And how many of us do it every day? How many of us miss opportunities? We all do. We all do. We're caught up a lot of times in busy lives. That's why last week it was about going into the wilderness, having time to prepare yourself for what God wants you to do. And we should do it every day to prepare ourselves for what God wants for us to do that day. Right? It's not about what we want to do. It's about what God wants to do with you. Is that true? Okay. So last week, again, we talked about repentance. And he said, repent because the kingdom of heaven is near. Who was that? That was Jesus coming. That was Jesus coming. And he said, he's preparing the way for Jesus' arrival. And he spent time in the wilderness. Anyway, we'll get into some of the verses here in a minute. Let's look at Luke chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. Zechariah was John's father. And before he was born, Gabriel came to him while he was doing his priestly duties in the temple. And he told him, "Hey, you're going to have a son, and you're going to name him John." And when Zechariah heard this, he said, "Huh? I'm old. My wife's old." And And what happened? He couldn't talk. Couldn't talk. That's well for a lot of us. Sometimes we need to be quiet and be still, right? But the Lord took the ability to talk. So he had to write things out. And after, just before this, at the birth, anyway, his name is John. Instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God for doing it. So we're going to start in verse 67. This is his prophecy. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. You can't give a prophecy, you can't give the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit leads it. You need to always be prepared for what the Spirit wants you to do. And like I said, there was a few weeks ago when Skeeter gave her testimony up here, and I had a message prepared. And guess what? God changed it before I got up here. Does he have a right to do that? Absolutely. But you have to be listening. You have to be paying attention all the time. And it's not going to be a voice that's going to yell inside of you. Sometimes it's going to yell at me sometimes. Get back where you're supposed to be. But nobody else like that. Anyway. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. The God of all. Because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. Bible study was kind of about that kind of what's going on in your heart today. It was about, the opening question was about those who have a little forgiveness, forgive little to others. And if you're given a lot of forgiveness, you realize how much Jesus forgave you of who you were and what you used to do. You have a lot of forgiveness. You have a lot of love for others. And we should all have that. And from all who hate us, he has been merciful to our ancestors by redeeming his sacred covenant. In the covenant, he swore with an oath to our ancestor, Abraham, we have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. So when it says, for the kingdom of heaven is near, Jesus is coming. He's left heaven. He's heaven coming to earth. So the kingdom, anyway, let's go on. You will tell his people how to find salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us. Heaven is about to come, the kingdom. And that's what he had to tell, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. We've talked before. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until his public ministry to Israel began. So he lived there a while before he went and started preaching to the people, trying to tell them, hey, the time's near. If it was near back then, and Jesus has already come, he's coming back again. Believe that. Believe he's coming back again. And if you don't, you got a big surprise coming. So we're going to look at some of that too. There's so many times we get caught up in certain things and we let the devil steal our joy, our peace. All the fruits of the Spirit is what the devil's trying to get from you. And the biggest one is joy and peace. I'm telling you, I want a peace always of him that surpasses all understanding. I want the joy that he gives. And that's an acronym meaning Jesus, others, and then you. You always have to be third. You know, I went to a summer camp a long time ago when I was from little up about 4 years in northern Wisconsin. And there was a saying that always said up there, I'm third. And I never understood that for a long time until I started thinking about I'm third. I got to think of Jesus first, others second, and I'm always going to be third. Is that fair? Yeah. Some people don't think so. Because it's all about who? Me. Or I. I want this. Or I want that. Well, you better be careful. And like I told on Albert and Chris when they first started the Footprints, they said, give me more. Give me more. We want more. And he gives you more. And sometimes he say, hey, Lord, can you give me a little less? No, you ask for more. Right? Be careful. If you're not prepared for more, be careful. Turn to Luke 21, 5 through 38. Jesus is going to speak about the future. And, you know, there were some songs today about that. Some of his disciples began talking about the majestic stonework of the temple and the memorial decorations on the walls. But Jesus said, the time is coming when all these things will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Teacher, they asked, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to take place? He replied, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah and saying the time has come. But don't believe them. And when you hear of wars and insurrections, don't panic. Yes, these things must take place first, but the end won't follow immediately. Then he added, nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Are we there? So be careful, because the kingdom is coming back again. There will be great earthquakes. Are we there? All over. And they're talking about the next big one is going to be the San Andreas Fault. And we're all going to feel it. When it's going to happen, people predict. It's just like the weather. The weatherman predicts the weather. Who's in charge of it? God is. And there will be famine and plagues in many lands, and there will be terrifying things and great miraculous signs from heaven. I think about this COVID-19. Was that a great plague? So many people thought so. I'm beginning to wonder if it wasn't just a bad case of the flu. I don't know. I know if you probably had an underlying medical condition, it wasn't good for you. If your immune system was weak. And anyway. But before this occurs, there will be a time of great persecution. You will be dragged into synagogues and prisons, and you will stand trial before kings and governors because you are my followers. There's a lot of people, great people that were spreading the good news in different lands, India and different places, and they're in prison for sharing that. So that's happening. But this will be your opportunity to tell him about me. So we're put in prison. Paul was in prison. And what was he doing? Sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. No matter where we're at, we're supposed to be doing that. So don't worry in advance about how to answer the charges against you. For I will give you the right words and such wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to reply or refute you. Even those closest to you, your parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, will betray you. They will even kill some of you, and everyone will hate you because you are my followers. But not a hair on your head will perish. By standing firm, you will win your souls. How far am I going? 38. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you will know that the time of its destruction has arrived. Then those in Judea must flee to the hills. Those in Jerusalem must get out, and those in the country should not return to the city. For those will be days of God's vengeance, and the prophetic words of the scriptures will be fulfilled. How terrible it will be for pregnant women and for nursing mothers in those days. For there will be disaster in the land and great anger against this people. They will be killed by the sword or sent away as captives to all the nations of the world. And Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the period of the Gentiles comes to an end. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. For the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. When he's coming back, and I'm telling you, it's not going to be long with all these signs, these birth signs that are happening now. If he was given this advice back then, how much closer do you think we are now? Then he gave them this illustration. Notice a fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told the summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass away from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware like a trap. For that day will come upon everyone living on earth. Keep alert at all times and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of God. Every day Jesus went to the temple to teach, and each morning he returned to spend the night on the Mount of Olives. The crowds gathered at the temple early each morning to hear him. We have the obligation that once you become a Christian, to be doing the things that he's called us to do. And, you know, he's coming back and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And you don't want to be a goat, I'm guaranteeing you. And how many of us miss the opportunity or walk by somebody that's in need? How many of you? My wife don't. I'm getting better. I'm not perfect. I got a shirt that says, I'm not perfect. Not perfect, just forgiven. That's me. Isn't that the way all of us are? If you're perfect, hey, be careful. Be careful. Another one, Matthew 11, 2 to 19. We'll start in 11 through 19. 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 19. I'm sorry. I'm going to start in 1. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to his 12 disciples, he went out to teach and preach in towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all these things the Messiah was doing. So he sent his disciples to ask, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" How many people are looking for someone else? Jesus told them, "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor." And he added, "God blesses those who do not fall away because of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking about him to the crowds. "What kind of man did you go into the wilderness to see? Was he a weak reed swayed by every breath of wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothes. No, people with expensive clothes live in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes, and he is more than a prophet. John is a man to whom the scriptures refer when they say, look, I'm sending my message ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. The kingdom. I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one of the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. To what can I compare this generation? It is like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends. We played wedding songs and you didn't dance. We played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking. And you say he's possessed by demons. The Son of Man, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and of other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. It doesn't matter who. There's a lot of people that don't have hope, that are lost, they're hopeless. And the hope they're looking for is something different, just like the Israelites were looking for something different. They weren't looking for Jesus to come as a Son of God to try to reconcile people back. They were looking for a king to come to save them from the Roman Empire. Not to save them from sin, which they were caught in. And how many people today are the same way? How many of us? Hey, we should be all putting both hands up, right? David, you're not alone. But there's so many times that we look upon people and we stereotype them. And that's not a good thing. Jesus, tax collectors, they were looked down as the worst of anybody. They hated them. Because a lot of them were collecting money for the Romans and collecting money for themselves extra. So, but Jesus said, hey, he told the one, hey, I'm going to come to your house and eat tonight. How many of you are going to sit down and eat with a homeless person? Okay. Hey, we need to. Yeah. If you don't have any idea, come out on Saturday morning down at the church on Poe and Harold. Healed and Poe. Come on down and see. Sit with them. Talk to them. It's an experience that's going to really open your eyes to people that are really going through it. And pray with them. How about that? Pray with them and share the good news with them. There is hope. There's hope. But you've got to want to step out and accept that hope. And the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. That's our hope. The kingdom, and he's coming back. And I'm telling you, all these signs that he said were going to happen, they're happening now. Now, has the worst of them happened? I don't know. But he says some people are going to run and try to hide somewhere. I'm going to say, come on in. I'm ready. Question is, you know, everybody, it's easy to praise him when you're on the mountaintops. What are you going to do when you're down in the valleys like some of the others? What are you going to do? There's going to come times when we're all going to be persecuted. And sometimes the worst ones are from family, it's saying. So be prepared, but show them the love of Christ that's in you. Something that he's done to make you different. I'm not the same person. There was something about, you know, somebody said something about, you know. Anyway, I used to have a saying. I don't get mad, but I'm going to get even. That's a bad saying. That was when I was the old Terry. And I hope he never comes back again. And I have, to the best of my ability, I'm going to stay in the Word. Because he said he is the Word. He is the Word. And how many times are we spending with him during the week? Each one of us got to ask ourselves that. Because if you're only doing it one day a week, you're not going to retain much. If you're only doing it 2 days a week, still not going to retain much. Do it 3 days a week, you'll retain a little. 4 and 5 days a week, you're going to retain a lot and be able to share with others a lot of it. And that's our responsibility. And it should be something we take seriously. But so many people just come to church or watch it on Sunday. I like the bulletin Jeff had last week. He said, he gets to the kingdom of heaven and says, "Oh, I watched it on TV. I watched it." And the guy at the door, or whoever it is, one of the angels said, "Oh, you watched it on TV? Well, you can watch it. You can watch heaven from TV too. You can watch it. You can look at it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to be there." And I know my name's written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And that's an important one. But how are other people going to know about it unless we do what we're called to do? And that's to share it. Okay, let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for that Word because the Bible tells us you are the Word. And I want more of you and less of me. So unless I stay in the Word, it becomes about me. And it's never about, should be about me. It's always about you, Lord. So, again, there's so many that are on our prayer chain. Most of the lost, Lord, I pray that we share with everyone we have an opportunity, and we don't miss it, to share the good news with as many as we have the opportunity. And they are abundant, I'm telling you. Throughout your day, they're abundant. But how are you going to know the good news if you're not into the news? So I pray that everybody this week will read that Bible at least 4 days a week. Hopefully you read it all week long. And anyway, I pray for those most of all. I pray for our youth. I pray for Miss Eileen. Pray for Scott. Pray for Footprints again as they keep doing the things that you've called us all to do. And that's to feed and clothe and water to the least of these, if you've done it. And we need to do that. We need to be doing those things that he's called us to do. So I want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a goat when he comes back. And anyway, there's so many others to pray for, and we just give you praise for Pete's sister and for Kenny and for all the ones. For myself, I'm doing better and better and better and getting stronger and stronger. I'm still not as strong as I should be, but I'm working on it, Lord. I'm going to work on it more. So I just give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. I thank you for who you are and what you've done in my life. And help us to share what Jesus has done in your life with others. Your testimony is one of your greatest things you have. And sometimes he takes you to the valley to where you have nowhere to look but up. And once you do that, don't forget what you've seen. It's just like going in a mirror and examining yourself daily, it says. And don't forget what you look like when you walk away. And hopefully you're doing better. So, Lord, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, and Kenny. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. I'm getting into something I shouldn't be in. Okay. Give me the Bible. I'll read it. I've done enough. James chapter 5, verses 13 to 18. The power of prayer. I'm telling you, there's no other greater power than the power of prayer, of being alone with the Lord. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. How many praises you sing during the day? It should be from, Lord, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, for laying me down. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share what you've given me all day long. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Not us. Not us. The Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Be careful about who you share your stuff with. Don't want to do it to a blabbermouth that's going to go tell everybody. I mean, if I'm doing something wrong, my wife's going to know. She's going to give me a good kick in the seat anyway. But anyway, what are you laughing about? Hey, Blanca could give you a good kick in the seat too, Anthony, Antonio. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So we have to pray earnestly. It has to be serious. Prayer is a serious time between you and the Lord. So, anybody experiencing hardships, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of hardships going on in this world today. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that you heal some of them. So, won't you come?
Hopelessly lost away. Oh, we hopelessly lost. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one.
Let's all what?
Rejoice and be glad.
Amen. All right.
I will say. sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.